from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also Darton Archery, HHA Sports, makers of the Optimizer single pin sight. Some great stuff, man. And we are welcoming a new affiliate, WMMI, in Mount Pleasant this weekend. Glad to be back in Mount Pleasant and that surrounding area, Mount Pleasant, Shepherd. Some good friends of ours up in St. Louis, Michigan, home of the Free Fish Derby, which is going to be going on again this year. The Joe Schultz Memorial Free Fish Derby. Joe Schultz, a very good friend of mine who was the former mayor, or actually was the mayor at his time of passing a couple of years ago up in St. Louis. But some great things. It's very good to be back on in that area again. So welcome WMMI in Mount Pleasant. And all of you would like to join us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in South Carolina in Greenville for the Bassmaster Classic, working with my friends at Dick's Sporting Goods, and as the MC of their footprint there at the Bassmaster Classic Expo, which is a huge deal. The Expo is this great big consumer show that you can walk around, you can buy stuff, you can win a lot of stuff, you can meet the pro anglers. And what was really cool is I'm standing on the stage and I hear this, hey, and I look behind me and it's my buddy Jonathan Van Dam. And he joins me right here on the show. Jonathan, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
It has been a while, man. It's good to be back.
It's not that I'm avoiding you or anything. Of course, I saw you at last year's Classic down in Birmingham, Alabama, with Lake Guntersville. Yep. And it was cold down there last year, but you had a pretty good classic because your first day, you had 20 pounds, 11 ounces, which was a really good haul.
Yeah, it was cold the last two classics, actually, you know, and that's just kind of the risk that you take, you know, having one in February down south, you know, and it's definitely a possibility that you can get some cold weather, but you know, obviously being from Michigan, I was okay with that.
Yeah, you know, we get the strangest looks when you're talking to folks down south in Alabama and South Carolina when you say you ice fish. And usually the response is, oh, no, I'm not walking on the ice. But it's not, you know, it's not like there's an inch of ice. We go out there when there's like a foot. But fishing those tournaments like that, like Lake Guntersville last year, it was cold for them in the mid-50s, low-50s last year, but you guys were still catching fish.
Yeah, I mean, Guntersville is one of those lakes it's an unbelievable lake. By far one of the best in the country, but I mean, cold fronts like that have an effect on it, but you know, when the lake's as good as it is and there's as many fish as there are in that lake, you know, it tends to sustain a little bit better and still, you know, still show out pretty good, you know, for having cold weather.
No, you guys did. I mean, 20 pounds, that was a good day. 20 pounds, 11 ounces, your day one. Second day, you go in with 18 pounds, 10 ounces, put you up into eighth position. And that being in the top 10 going into day two, a lot of things can happen. And not having really been into watching the Bassmaster until last year, I didn't realize how much emotion and how crazy it is being in the top 10. It's just absolutely insane.
It is pretty wild. You know, the classic's on a whole nother level. You know, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching, you know, watching every move you make at the classic. So, you know, that it's our Super Bowl. So, I mean, it kind of takes the emotion and you know, the being in the top 10 to just a whole nother level. It's really quite the feeling. It can be nerve-wracking, you know, at the same time, obviously a top 10 in any tournament really is a good, you get a little nervous still, you know, at times.
You do. And, you know, when The best way for me to describe the final day weigh-in is like WWE meets bass fishing. You know, it's all this loud, exciting noises and flash and boats coming in on trucks and anglers on their boats and circling the crowd, then coming in off the stage with your fish for the weigh-in. Unless you experience it, it's very difficult to describe to people. But when you come in, you know, when you've done this a few times, but when you come into the Classic on your boat and you see this crowd, man, what is it like from your perspective?
Man, there's really nothing that you can say to describe it. I mean, it really is an unbelievable tournament. The whole process of the Classic is really kind of indescribable, especially, you know, if you're like I was when I made my first Classic in Tulsa, the year before even, that was a dream come true for me, just to go through that tunnel. And the craziest part really is sitting on the other side of that screen where you can't really see how many people are out there yet. And then, but you can hear everybody yelling and screaming and the music, and you can kind of see the lights flashing a little bit. But, just waiting back there backstage to go out into the line, then more or less, it's pretty wild.
Jonathan Van Dam is our guest here. He's a pro angler on the Bassmaster, the BASS Elite Series from Michigan, of course. Did some college time at Western Michigan University, where we were first introduced to him. And, we ran into you at Birmingham, and we saw you in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Your first class, I mean, it had to be, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but it's just got to be overwhelming.
It is, it's overwhelming, and what it especially with the media and everything that goes into the Classic. There's, when we're there, pretty much a week and a half before the event starts, and you pretty much got everything scheduled out. You've got to be at a lot of places throughout the week. There's a media day. It can be very hectic and kind of tiring week, but. It's the Classic, though, and, there's so much adrenaline and excitement, and everything behind the event that, it keeps you going, and once you fish one, you never want to miss one again. Anyone that's a competitor that's experienced that, the Bassmaster Classic is where it's at.
Jonathan Van Dam is our guest here. JonathanVanDam.com is his website. Last week, we had Chad Pipkins on the show, a kid from Holt, a young man from Holt, I'll say. He actually lives probably about a mile, maybe not even that, from me, which was kind of funny.
And, was he really?
Yeah, nice kid, man. It's just, I walked up to him at the Classic. I said, hey, you're from Holt? I said, yeah, me too. I think he was kind of surprised that somebody from the same small town just outside of Lansing was there at the Classic as well. And last Classic there in South Carolina, that was difficult because Chad went back to fish the lake, and actually he was down south fishing again. I think he was at Guntersville or something, but there's like 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely crazy and not conducive to bass fishing at all.
Yeah, they got a lot of snow down there, and it's kind of funny. I actually had a buddy of mine that was down in Huntsville, right there next to Guntersville, just north of there, and I was looking for some stuff. I'm getting my boat ready, this week, leaving tomorrow morning or actually before for the event, and. I had to call him. I said, hey, man, I need to get the electronics mount. Chad had him send it to me. He's like, well, they probably won't be able to send it for like 4 days. And I'm like, what's the deal with that? They had like, 8 inches of snow. And all I did was text them back was, I remember my first snowflake.
Jonathan Van Dam joining us here on the show. Of course, he is from Michigan. We're going to talk more about what is coming up for 2015 and maybe get some inside information as to where the Classic for 2016 is going to be, because I have no idea right now. Listening to Wild Michigan, welcoming WMMI in Mount Pleasant here on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Ono Hayes. Fagan of ClareBeardsley.ie, inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, brought to you by Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years of archery here in Michigan and around the world. Thanks to also to Owen O'Hagan, ClareVirtually.ie. If you would like to someday fish Ireland, as I want to really, really bad, go over there and do some fly fishing for trout on Loch Derg, and maybe some fly fishing for pike. I think that would be an absolute riot. But we'll be talking to Owen here in the next couple of weeks, get to find out what's going on, because the Tommy Giblin Memorial Fishing Tournament is going on over in Ireland, and I think that's something that we should probably experience. But right now we're speaking with Jonathan Van Dam of Kalamazoo, Michigan. He is an Elite Series angler on the BASS tournament circuit. Jonathan, you are getting ready. You got your first tournament coming up outside of Classic. Because explain to me first, before you go into this, how one gets picked for the Classic each year.
Yeah, it's actually, there's a number of different ways that you can do it. There's some guys that go through the Federation. I believe, six guys through the Federation get invited to the Classic, and you have to. It's quite a long road to go that way, and arguably the hardest way to qualify. In the Elite Series, which is what I fish, the top 100-110 guys in the country, and we have to. We have a point series as well, and we've got to be, usually top 30, or so, and higher in points at the end of the season.
So, I mean, it's a process, because there are tournament fees and travel and vehicles and gear and parts. There's a lot that goes into that.
There is. I mean, there's a lot of working parts, and there's a lot of stuff that, your average person doesn't see, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So, getting ready for the first tournament, I've spent the last couple weeks getting my boat ready and making sure all my stuff was in line for that. And then, looking at maps and studying, aerial photos and just all sorts of stuff. It's more than just going out there and fishing.
Now, you've grown up, of course, growing up in Kalamazoo. DNR Sports Center in Kalamazoo is a family-owned business. Your dad, of course, running that now?
Yeah. We've grown up with it. We've been there for, I think it's been over 30 years now. Mm-hmm. I grew up working there. I mean, I started washing boats and stuff when I was a kid. I mean, 8, 9 years old, and then, selling tackle and that kind of thing. And, my Uncle Kevin actually worked with my dad there too. When he first started doing the same thing, selling boats and tackle and stuff like that. So, it's definitely a place that's been a big part of the family industry.
Of course, speaking with Jonathan Van Dam here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. If you miss any of this here on our great affiliates across the Michigan Talk Network, your Uncle Kevin Van Dam, of course, everybody knows who he is. He's made quite a name for himself, especially, and this is what's funny, because I've talked to Bill Dance and I've talked to other people about this, but bass fishing, very much like NASCAR, man. It's been so southern. Then all of a sudden, here comes this guy from up north winning these classics, winning the Bassmaster of the Year, Angler of the Year. And it's kind of a shock. And now, you're coming in here, but you've had to do your own thing. This isn't just because your last name is Van Dam that this is a free ride.
No, I mean, no doubt that Uncle Kevin and my dad have helped out a lot and really kind of helped steer me in the right direction. But there's definitely been a huge learning curve, going to a lot of lakes and stuff that I've never fished before. There's obviously always new techniques to learn and different things. They've helped out a tremendous amount. The nice thing is we have such a large family support group that, for the both of us, that, it really helps a lot, especially when we're traveling.
Jonathan Van Dam is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Jonathan, I hear that your dad is quite an angler as well.
He's pretty dang good. I'm not going to lie about that. He's been known to whip me on occasion, that's for sure. And a lot of people I've met around the country even, they're like, man, I heard back in the day that your dad was better than Kevin was, And I mean, obviously, I don't know about that, but he's a very good fisherman, no doubt.
Yeah, no, I've heard that same story, and it's funny how things get around, but, even being over here, but I've heard that story about your dad, and I'm very happy to, very happy to have you on the show here, because it's been, I can't even remember how we first got introduced, but, it was one of those things that, when you were in college, you were an angler in college, and making your way up, and you went to Western Michigan University, you've been part of the Elite Series, and now for 2015, you say you're getting ready for your first tournament. Where is that going to be at?
We're headed down to the Sabine River down in southern Louisiana, kind of right on the Texas border there. And it's an interesting fishery, one I've been to before. Very vast, wide open kind of place, lots of little cuts and places to hide, but I don't know. It'll be an interesting one. I mean, the good news is you get to kind of escape the winter up here a little bit,
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of over winter. I mean, I love ice fishing and stuff, and I don't mind rabbit hunting, but it's kind of difficult to do in a foot and a half of snow sometimes. They just don't want to move. Let's talk about the Classic for next year. By now, we have had an announcement. I haven't heard anything, and I've been looking almost on a daily basis. Any word on where the Bassmaster Classic will be for 2016?
I don't know for sure, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything either. I've heard a few rumors flying around, but I honestly can't say for sure where it's going to be.
Yeah, rather strange, because I've been hearing Oklahoma, but after the cold that we've all had, I'm hoping, and I'm hoping for like Shreveport or someplace in Louisiana that is going to be warm, because if I get invited to go back again, I will want warm this time, because I think I'm going to start getting the blame for all of this.
When we were in Greenville there, I have a lot of friends. I room with Casey Ashley, who won the Classic down there, and Marty Robinson, both from right there around the Greenville area. And as soon as I pulled into town, they told me that I need to turn around and bring this winter back home with me.
Not really feeling the love. And Casey Ashley, of course, this is 2 years in a row that a hometown guy has won the Classic. And he's just got to be on cloud nine right now, because I watched Randy Howell last year, and it was amazing.
He is, man. I mean, I've talked to him since he won. And the Classic's really a life-changing event for anybody's career. And, anyone that wins it, it's a huge deal now. And he's having to adapt. And there's a lot more demand for him now. So, he's had to work pretty hard. And he said it was definitely a little bit of a shell shock trying to get back in the swing of things and handle everything he needs to do. He's getting ready to leave for the first term as well. So,
all right, Jonathan Van Dam, appreciate you joining us. Check him out, jonathanvandam.com. We'll have a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Thanks so much to Jonathan Van Dam. Give us a little update on what's going on with him and the Bass Elite Series. I always want to just call it Bass Elite Series. I guess I will. Again, still no word as to where the 2016 Bass Master Classic is going to be. Past couple of them have been very cold. And, maybe, again, Shreveport people, take us to Louisiana. I want to go to Louisiana next year. I got to shift gears a little bit, talk about waterfowl here in Michigan. No, not hunting, but it's got Holly Vaughn from the Michigan DNR joining us here. on the show. Holly, there was a press release released earlier this week that said we have the diver ducks starting to pile up in some of the bodies of water here that are frozen over, looking for food, but we cannot help them. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No, good to have you back. What's going on? We've got diver ducks and everything. They're congregating at some of these open spots, but because we've had so much, again, freezing going on, they're having a difficult time finding food sources.
Absolutely. Yeah, current reports are that about 85% of Michigan's water is frozen right now, so these ducks are having trouble finding, areas to be open water to, swim around in. But the places that they are finding are areas where there isn't necessarily that much high-quality food. Parts of the Great Lakes that are really, really deep where the water is very far down that they can't get to, places where the sunlight doesn't really, penetrate down deep enough to make a nice weed bed with good quality food. So we are seeing some starvation in waterfowl around the state.
And, look, we're humans. We're compassionate whether we hunt or whether we don't. We want to help, but that's really not a good idea.
Absolutely. You're right. First of all, offering them any sort of food that we might have, like corn or birdseed or bread, isn't necessarily healthy for these ducks, and it could actually harm them more than hurt them. And then, some people are feeling like they should go out on the ice and, pluck the ducks out of the water and rescue them that way. But of course, that's not a safe thing to do either with, unstable ice conditions. And as we get warmer temperatures in the next few weeks, that ice can become especially unpredictable, especially along rivers like, the Detroit River and the St. Clair River. So we just really want people to be smart and be careful.
Now, these are affecting places like Western Lake Erie and, like you said, Detroit and St. Clair Rivers, with temperatures hopefully getting towards 50 next week. Yes. It could be, again, rather dangerous. I'm not one to fish on a river anyway, but when you have warm-ups coming like this, we're going to lose some ice, and it could cause some serious problems.
Absolutely. And just yesterday, my office is right across from the Detroit River. We watched the water open up during the 8 hours we were there yesterday. So things are changing, and they're changing quickly. So just, be really careful and be really smart.
Now, what are some of the species of ducks that this is affecting? Because we know that there are diver ducks involved, but which ones are the ones congregating trying to find some food sources?
We're noticing canvasbacks, redheads, greater and lesser scaup, and long-tailed ducks especially are the ones that are being affected the most.
Now, we worry about a die-off. We worry about starvation. Is this going to affect, just a small amount of the population?
Yeah, it should be a fairly small percentage. And like you said, with the warming weather coming up, conditions will improve, and they'll improve quickly here pretty soon. And we predict that with good, breeding and recruitment in the next few months that, the population really won't be impacted overall.
Holly Vaughn is our guest here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. How was last year? How was our population last year? I've been hearing good things in Michigan. How did we do?
Last year, we had similar winter conditions where we did have some die-offs in the winter, but spring was great. We had a really great reproduction, not only in Michigan, but also in the big reproduction areas of the prairie pothole region, in Nebraska and the Dakotas. And so ducks are doing really nicely.
Good to hear.
North America.
Good to hear. I know we had a pretty good goose season, although I didn't really get out much. It seems the more Holly I do radio, the less I get to hunt and fish. I don't understand where the connection is. You have to have something to talk about, so therefore you should do it, right?
Right.
So what is your office working on now? I know you've had this press release because, again, concerns of die-off, and we as human beings wanting to help everything. No matter whether we hunt or not. But what are you guys working on coming up for the spring?
Well, we're gearing up for turkey season coming up. We're getting excited for that, opening up in April. Just kind of assessing the overall effect of the winter on wildlife, and it looks like things are faring a lot better than last winter, which is good news. Very good news.
No, I agree. We had that spell in December where I don't even think we really got any snow. Right. And then we had the January, February, and we're going to be talking with our good friend Doug Roberts a little bit later on about some of the deer patterns. I'm seeing a lot of shift in deer patterns right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's an exciting time. We've got spring, like you said, coming up. We have turkey season, which opens up on the 20th of April. Frankly, can't come soon enough, but... it's just an exciting time to get out and hunt, and that is probably by far has become my favorite thing to hunt all year long.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to get out in the springtime.
Absolutely. Holly Vaughn, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan. Good luck to you, and if you happen to see any boats out there on the Detroit River starting to walleye fish, let me know, will you?
I sure will.
Since you've got a bird's eye view of everything, that would be awesome. But I appreciate your update for the ducks this year, and that's good information to know. Appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, Holly Vaughn with the Michigan DNR. And speaking of ducks, if you want to go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, we just posted up a video on there of a Pennsylvania angler was ice fishing with a tip-up. And the flag goes up. They're going towards their the flag. And believe me, there is quite the surprise. That's not a fish on the other end of that. They evidently had landed a merganser on there, and fortunately the duck was unhurt and it was released, and very interesting to watch. I can't imagine what happens when you pull a duck through the ice. Trappers in Montana killed 77 gray wolves and hunters 127 so far this year, this winter. Total of 204 total as a season for the predator nears an end in Montana. The Montana Fish Wildlife Parks spokesman Ron Asheim said the final tally for this winter's wolf harvest is expected to fall short of the 230 wolves killed in the 2013-2014 season, and that coming from a Montana paper over there. We'll be talking a little bit later in the show with Kevin Swanson from the Michigan DNR, talking about the new wolf draft update, what it will outline for to try and keep wolf hunting legal here in Michigan. And we'll also talk about the bear quota and the changes coming up for bear season for fall of 2015 here in Michigan. And a little bit later on the show, also, we will talk with Doug Roberts, the deer professor from Conquest Sense and the TV show Conquest 200. We'll find out what deer or why they're on the move, why they're moving so much. I've been seeing a lot of movement here in the daytime just around the Wild Michigan studio. So we'll find out more about that in a little bit. So lots more coming up. Again, if you miss any of this, hit us up on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast absolutely free. And thanks again to Holly Vaughn with the Michigan DNR giving us an update on ducks and safety this winter here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Larry Weissman, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. We're going to be all over the place next couple of weeks. Actually, we're going to be in one place next couple of weekends. Would hope you would join us coming up on March 7th. Our friends at the Michigan Muskie Alliance are doing their banquet at the Eagle Eye Banquet Facility. Also, Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. This is one we'll definitely be at for sure. Their 29th annual fundraising banquet will happen at Eagle Eye. And the Safari Club International Lansing Chapter, their 15th annual fundraiser and banquet, is going on. They'll have an outfitters night, which is absolutely free and open to everybody on the 20th of March, and then on the 21st, the banquet happens, and the raffles and the auctions and all of the other stuff. And again, all that information is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Going to talk a little bit about Lake Erie right now. We had him on last month. We're going to have him on right now because we see there's a foreseeable warm-up in our future, which could be it could be good for fishing. It could be dangerous for people that really like the good fishing. And our buddy Chuck Mason joins us right now. Chuck, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Chuck, pro angler. And you pretty much live the Lake Erie lifestyle year-round. But in the fishing, we've seen some great photos coming from our friend Brandon Sherman-Almy and also Brett Reed. Man, those guys pulled some hogs to the ice last weekend. But I'm kind of fearing that this is going to be the last hurrah this weekend.
This weekend's probably going to be the last time you can get out without having to worry too much, for sure.
We got a bit of a warm-up coming our way next week. We've talked about this several times throughout the show. Warm-up of near 50 degrees is what they're calling for. That's not for sure that's going to happen. But when you have that kind of air temp warm-up, of course you're going to lose some ice, but there's going to be some sunshine warming up that water temp that's going to break up some of that ice from underneath.
Yeah, it's not even the sun so much. It's the current underneath, and Lake Erie is famous for its current. And as soon as the icebreakers start coming through with the shipping channels, it's got some place to go. And once the combination of the heat, the intense light, and that current underneath eroding the ice, you've got three ingredients for disaster right there.
And what are your tips? I mean, look, Chuck, we see it every year, Saginaw Bay, Lake Erie, people building ice bridges, people, you know, jumping across the gaps in the ice. Look, we know the fishing is phenomenal when you get these kind of warm-ups and these kind of, you know, pressure systems coming in. But look, it's just not worth it no matter what.
No, and it's not. And that's one of the reasons, late ice more than anything else. It's always good to travel in packs. Get a group of guys. Not only is it more fun that way, somebody brings some food, somebody brings a grill, but there is such a thing as safety in numbers. And the more people, it seems the more level-headed you'll be when you're out there instead of trying to risk and do something silly.
Now, what about taking equipment? I mean, you can get to good fishing on Lake Erie without hauling out the heavy equipment too, though.
Yes, you can. You know, we're talking earlier, all that fishing is taking place out of Ohio. And we've got some good fishing right here in Monroe. Bruss Bay, you can walk 2 or 3 miles out to the point from inside, and you don't have to go all the way out there. You don't have to go to the last pressure crack to find fish, especially we were talking about this becoming the late part of the season. Well, one of the main reasons the fishing is so phenomenal on the ice is people are going out there and they know these areas from fishing in their boat. As we get closer to spring and we get closer to the fish coming into the river systems like the Maumee River or the Detroit River, the Huron River, this is all pre-spawn staging. So everybody already knows those spots. And you know, you don't have to be a genius on the ice. You know, all you have to do is some experience in your boat, and you can get to those spots relatively quickly.
Speak with Chuck Mason here on Wild Michigan. Chuck, pro staffer for a lot of different organizations, a lot of different great companies, talking about Lake Erie ice fishing right now. Chuck, let's talk last weekend tactics. Somebody hears this, they want to go out on Lake Erie. Like I said, I saw Brandon and Brett, man, they pulled some hogs through the ice. And this is about the time as we come into spring, we're seeing some of those bigger fish come into the waterways. But it's just strange to see a consistent number so big so fast.
Yeah, and last year, you know, as crazy as it was this year, last year was even better. You could go just about anywhere, and, you know, everybody says, oh, I loved it, especially if you're from Wisconsin or Minnesota, the 10-pound fish, that's just awesome. You know, I've been past the 12.5, I'm going to try to skip right over 13, 14. I'd love to get a 15-pounder through the ice and take some picks and put it back down. But it's all about that safety this time of the year. Every time you cross a crack, get off your machine or tie a rope on so your buddy's got a hold of you. Take out your spud. I mean, it's the best piece of equipment you have on late ice, early ice for that matter also. And check each side of the crack before you cross. You've got to make sure that ice is going to be stable on both sides. Often on the far lake side of the crack, that's going to be your thinnest ice. So coming in, it's not so much, but further out you go, that's where that current's going to be and that's where the erosion's going to be. Besides your spud, you should have some type of throwable. Clam makes a really nice throwable rope. 50 feet, real easy to toss. The rope pulls out of the bag as you throw it. You know, if something happens, God forbid, you're going to have somebody out there that's going to be able to bring you back in. We've also got new devices out there that you can attach to your sled or your four-wheeler, and I believe the company's called is Nebulous, and it is acting, it'll act just like those neat little inflatable life jackets, the little tubes that go around your neck that everybody sees on the pros these days.
Mm-hmm.
Water activated, it blows up, it keeps your machine from sinking, gives you an extra couple minutes to get off the machine and back on the ice. And it also gives you a chance to go back and hopefully save your equipment.
Well, not to mention, it probably saves you a fine from it not sinking completely also.
Yeah, they do have that. Yeah.
You know, not only are we safety conscious, we're also a little conscious of fiscally responsible.
Penny-wise there.
Yeah, fiscally responsible, you might say.
Right.
But, you know, I had the opportunity when I was down at the Bassmaster Classic here a couple of weeks ago in Greenville, South Carolina. I shared the footprint of Dick's Sporting Goods with the fine folks at Mustang Survival. Of course, they have the water activated PFDs, the personal flotation devices, that are very non-intrusive. They're you can wear them around your suit, and look, they have like 35 pounds of buoyancy, which will keep you up and give you the opportunity to possibly get yourself out of a sticky situation. And they also have the Mustang Survival suit, which is a two-piece bib and jacket that is buoyant also. So, yeah, I mean, look, on these warmer days, you can have something a little bit thinner and still be extra safe. Not cheap, but still safe. What's the price you're going to put on your safety?
Exactly. I've got a clam lift suit. Unfortunately, we lost one of the ice team members a couple years back over on Lake Superior.
No, I remember.
No machine and everything went down. Yeah, Jim Hudson, great guy. And the year after that, Clam really stepped up and put a lot of new equipment, including that throwable rope I talked about earlier. And they came out with the lift suit, which added that buoyancy to the jacket. And the nice thing about it, as it gets warm, you can stay comfortable by the layers underneath the jacket. You don't need, if it's going to be 30 degrees out, you don't have to dress like it's 15 below.
Absolutely. Speaking with Chuck Mason here on Wild Michigan, and you know, like our buddy Bro says, like Brian Brosdahl says, man, never go anywhere without your picks. Make sure they're around your neck, not in your pocket, not, you know, at your side somewhere or in your bucket. Make sure your picks are around your neck. And some of these Frable suits have them built in at your hand right now. So
yeah, and you can go anywhere. You know, you mentioned Dick's, and there's a lot of Dick's up by your way.
Sure.
There's a Gander Mountain just about every medium-sized town in Michigan. And for $5, you can go out and buy a floatable, or $5 to $10. So what?
Yeah, exactly. What's your life valued at? You can put it in that perspective. But Chuck Mason, appreciate you joining us.
Yep.
Appreciate.
Everybody stay safe.
Absolutely. And hopefully we won't be reading about how somebody blew out and the Coast Guard came to save them and they're paying a fine. So
right.
We laugh now, but it happens every year. So Chuck, safe fishing to you. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan. Thanks to our good friends at HHA Sports, Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years. Also Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. A link to all of our great sponsors on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Look up the sponsors. Look up our podcast, if you will. You can pick up shows from way back when to this one currently here that you heard on the Michigan Talk Network.